At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So I want to start with just a little story that I was telling someone, I think, this week. And I may have told you before, but it's just too appropriate for today. So the church I served previous, St. Mark's, is Grace Church in Elkridge. And they had a unique setup. They had a church, a beautiful stone church with a slate roof, just gorgeous. And then 2.5 miles away, they had a parish hall. You'll note that my office is across the street. I haven't worked in a church where my office and the church were connected in 18 years. So I go back and forth. Anyway, we worshiped at both sites. The church, we had two services at the church and one at the parish hall. And one year, we had, during the winter, we had a problem with the heat in the church. So I put up a sign on the door of the church. I said, "All services this morning have been moved to the parish hall due to a heating problem in the church. We will keep our usual schedule." Well, as we got into the next week, it didn't look like the heating problem was going to be fixed in time for the following Sunday. And somebody came, and upon finding that out, she said, "So I'll keep the sign up." I said, "Yes, please do." And she said, "Would you like me to fix the typo?" And I said, "What typo?" Apparently, I had put up a sign that says, "All services this morning have been moved to the parish hall due to a heating problem in the church. We will keep our usual schedule." Sadly, that is a true story. You read these things on the internet about bulletin jokes and whatnot. That happened. And it just felt so appropriate for today as we listen to Jesus talk about love. And just as a 15-second aside, I just want to remind maybe me, hopefully you, that hating does not ever destroy the object of our hate, but it will destroy us. Okay, that's all I have to say about hating. I want to go out to love, because that's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel this morning. You will, of course, recall the greatest commandments. They're about love. A scribe comes to Jesus and says, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God." Anyone want to continue? "With all your heart, and your mind, your soul," and one of the Gospels actually includes strength. So lots of ways you can love. In fact, one more contemporary English translation of the Bible says, "You shall love God with all of your passion and all of your prayer and all of your intelligence and all of your energy." And then the second commandment Jesus says is, we get a lot of King James people in here, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." That's good. So those are the two commandments. And Jesus says there is no other commandment greater than these. Now, it may be a bit trite to say it, but sometimes we want to take the little out that Jesus gives us on the love neighbors, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if I don't love myself, then I can treat my neighbors any way I care to, right? Now, the loving yourself, that's something for you all to deal with on your own. I'm not going to fix that today as I preach. But John tells the story of the Last Supper with Jesus kicking it up a notch. It's not, he doesn't leave it at love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love one another as I have loved you. There is no out in this one. Love one another as I have loved you. It frankly kind of puts love your neighbor as yourself in his place, doesn't it? So then the next inevitable question always is, well, what does that look like? What is Christian life, love? I don't expect Jesus, I don't think Jesus expects us to like everybody. I hope not. Because while I like everyone here, I don't like everybody. Shh. Don't let that get out. But we are called to love. Now, I should add that the world would be a much better place if we all liked each other, right? But like is, you know, affection is an emotion. It's something that kind of is. But the love that Jesus is calling us to is something that does. And there's a big difference. One of the problems with the English language in this particular realm is that there is only one word, love, that we translate for several different words in Greek in which the New Testament was written. And it's really too bad. I think it's a shortcoming because there are so many different kinds of love. The love that Jesus is calling us to here is not the same as the love I have, say, for an ice cream sundae. It's a different love, but we only have that one word. But the Greek word, and you all have heard this, in fact, this whole thing should be a review for you. This whole thing, and it's just something we have to keep talking about. But the word that that Jesus uses here, of course, is agape. And that is a really powerful word. It can be found throughout the Bible. It is, agape love is the embodiment of God, if you can have such a thing. In fact, the first letter of John says simply, God is love. And that love is agape. Because God's love does. It's active. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Loved, agape, that he gave. This is a doing thing. Christ so loved the world that he gave his life. Agape. It's a doing love. It's a love that is active. It is not a love that sits still. It is not a love of emotion. Jesus made it clear in the Garden of Gethsemane that he did not want to go to the cross, but he went out of love because the love, agape love, is active. Agape love is indeed the love of the cross, and it is our love when we act in truth and action. And the thing about agape love, as Jesus described it, is that it is self-sacrificial love. And that's not something that all of us like all of the time. Self-sacrifice is not a big thing in America, to my observation. One Christian writer noted that when we follow Jesus Christ, we resolve to love others, even if it costs us. And I promise you, it does cost us. Costs us perhaps our preferences, costs us our time, costs us financial resources, costs us our stereotypes, even, and perhaps most importantly, it costs us our entitlements. We have to sacrifice if we are going to embody the love that Jesus has for us. Christian love that acts might cost us our popularity. It might cost us respect that we have from people who, quite frankly, don't get it. It can be costly to have an active, self-sacrificial love. But when we sacrifice these things, we learn empathy, We come to understand the brokenness of others. We come to understand the hurt and the pain of people in need of help, in need of agape love. And when we live the love of self-sacrifice on behalf of others, we are living the resurrected life. That is the love given us on the cross. That is the love that we find in the otherwise empty tomb. And that is the love that calls us to act. Amen.